Chapter 6. Corey the Whistleblower.
"Why have you been following me?" asked Maya.
"Put the gun down, Maya. Then we can talk."
She moved her gun away from his head.
"Did you know my sister?" she asked.
Corey's smile disappeared, and when she saw the sadness in his eyes, she realized that he had known Claire.
"Let's go back to Leather and Lace. Someone might notice us here," said Corey.
At the strip club, a security guard checked their faces on a camera before the door opened. They walked to a small private room at the back.
"Have a seat," said Corey. "I need to explain what I do."
"I understand what you do," said Maya. "You're a whistleblower. You think that secrets are bad, so you release them to the world without troubling yourself about how the scandal could affect people."
"That's not far from the truth, actually," he said. "But people think that I want to destroy governments and companies. The truth is that I want to make them stronger by making them be honest and do the right thing. Businesses and governments lie. They pay people to hide their crimes. But imagine a world where that didn't happen. So I release their secrets, and with you, it was the government killing civilians in a war."
"That's not what we were doing," interrupted Maya.
I know, it was an accident," said Corey. "But I believe that people ought to know about these things."
"So how do you know my sister?"
"She contacted me," said Corey. "Several months before her death, she sent me an email. She wanted to discuss you, Maya."
"Me? Are you saying that she sent you the video from my combat helicopter?" asked Maya.
"No,"
said Corey.
"She contacted me after I released the video, because she was scared that I'd released the audio, too."
Maya was silent.
"You told Claire about it, didn't you, Maya?"
he asked. "Yes," Maya said. "I thought that we told each other everything, although now I'm not sure."
"She was trying to protect you by asking me not to release the audio," he said. "She argued with me about it, saying that you were only human and it wasn't fair to punish you alone. She said that the real fault was with the government."
Maya nodded. "And if you released the audio, people would blame me instead of the government."
"Yes," said Corey. "However, there was something else. Claire worked for a big company that had its own secrets. The Burkitt Company."
Maya was starting to understand. "So you agreed not to release the audio if she gave you information about the company. What were you investigating?"
"One of the Burkitt family businesses is a medicine company called EAC, said Corey. "They're making a medicine to sell in Asia, which isn't safe. People have died after taking it. The Burkitt family argue that they tested the medicine, and they're blaming workers in Asia for making mistakes. But this is all lies. They must be paying people in those countries' governments to keep it a secret."
"Except you couldn't prove it, so you needed someone in the company like Claire to give you information. And that's what got her murdered," said Maya.
"She wanted to do it, Maya,"
said Corey.
"And it wasn't just Claire. She was working with Joe, remember?"
Corey seemed to think that this was the connection between Claire and Joe's deaths. "So you believe that the Burkitt family killed Claire and then Joe to hide the secret?" said Maya. "I could agree with you about Claire, but not about Joe. He wouldn't want to destroy his family business, and the Burkitt family would never kill one of their own kids."
"You may be right," Corey said. "But I think Claire discovered something else, too. Lulu told me that you found her secret phone. She used that to contact me. And several days before her death, she called because she had something to show me."
Corey gave Maya a piece of paper with a name on it. Tom Douglas.
Does this name mean anything to you?
He asked. I've never heard of him, said Maya. Who is he?
He's a private detective, said Corey. Claire found out that the Burkitts were paying him $9,000 every month. This seemed like too much money for an ordinary job, so Claire thought that something else was going on.
$9,000? Maya thought. According to Caroline, the Burkitts were paying Kearse the same amount. So why were the Burkitts paying Tom Douglas? Maya asked Corey.
I don't know, he said. We tried to talk to him, but he told us nothing. Maybe you could try?
He gave her Tom Douglas's work and home addresses, which were both in a small town called Livingston. Maya left the strip club and drove to the office where Tom Douglas worked as a private detective. When she knocked on the door, a man walking past told her that Tom had not been there for weeks, so she decided to try his home, a 5-minute drive away. The Douglas house was blue, and there was a fishing boat beside the garage. A woman of about 50 opened the door.
May I help you?
She asked. Maya smiled and replied, My name's Maya Stern. I'm looking for Tom Douglas. The woman did not smile back.
He's not here. He might not be back for a while. I've seen you on the news. What do you want with my husband?
Can I come in? Inside the house, there were pictures of fishing boats on the walls. Mrs. Douglas led Maya into the living room and stood looking at her. Maya explained about the money being paid to her husband by the Burkitts and asked what work he was doing for the family.
I don't know,
Mrs. Douglas replied. Something about that money worried my sister, Mrs. Douglas. And then, a few days after she had discovered it, she was murdered. Mrs. Douglas's mouth opened in shock.
Do you think that my husband was involved? Tom's a good man.
I didn't say that. But he was doing something for the Burkitt family that was worth $9,000 a month, said Maya. Where is he, Mrs. Douglas? I need to speak to him. It was clear that Mrs. Douglas did not want to answer Maya's question.
He's away, she said,
and she opened the front door for Maya to leave.
I'll tell him that you visited.
Later that day, Maya went to the gun range to meet Shane.
Are you ready to tell me what's going on?
Shane asked. Maya was not ready. She wanted to protect Shane. She also worried that Corey would get scared and disappear again if he thought that other people knew about him. Instead, she told Shane about Caroline. She told me that the family has been giving Kearse money, said Maya. And she said that they started paying him before Joe died. This confused Shane.
Caroline must be wrong. Perhaps she's imagining things, said Shane. Didn't you tell me once that she was a little mad? And now her brother has been murdered, which could make her more paranoid?
I suppose that's possible, said Maya. And she told me something else. You know that her brother Andrew died in high school?
Yes. He fell off a boat into the sea,
said Shane. Well, actually, he didn't fall. Joe told me that he jumped. He killed himself, said Maya.
Oh, wow,
said Shane. And Caroline told me today that she wasn't allowed to see either Andrew's or Joe's bodies, so she's finding it hard to believe that they really died. And now she thinks that the family is paying the detective investigating Joe's death. Maya stopped suddenly as a thought came to her. Oh no.
What?
Said Shane. She was remembering the pictures and the fishing boat at Tom Douglas's house. Did Tom's work involve the sea? Shane, she said, I need you to find out if the Coast Guard officer who investigated Andrew's death was a man called Tom Douglas.